I want to talk to you tonight. Last week we started laying hands on people. How many of you are hungry tonight for God to do something in your life? So tonight I'm going to talk to you about being changed into another man or another woman. How many of you think you need change? We all need change. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head." This is now on Saul, "and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?'" Then I want to drop down to verse 6 for time's sake. He says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy, and then you will be turned into another man." God doesn't need a lot of time to change you. All God needs is your full attention. One touch by the presence of God and your life will never be the same again. Say a good amen. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. "You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you," this is the prophet saying, "to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." So it was, when he turned back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass. Our text tonight, verse 6, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy, and you will be turned into another man." Look at the person next to you and say, "You are going to be turned into another man." So when God's Spirit comes upon you, He's going to change you inside out. God is not into behavioral modification. God is not into giving you a self-improvement plan. God is not into getting you into positive thinking. God is into revolutionizing your life, changing you inside out in Jesus' name. And I want to say to this young generation, you don't need another church meeting. You don't need more information. You don't need more doctrine. What you need is a radical encounter with God, with the fire of God, and with the presence of God in the name of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 3 verse 16, in the Message Bible, the Bible says, "But John intervened, 'I'm baptizing you here in the river.'" The main character of this drama, oh, some of you are drama queens, but that's going to change tonight, amen. You are going to become part of God's kingdom. You are going to become part of God's agenda. You are going to be one of those people that will carry the fire of God, and you will change your generation for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. The main character in the drama, to whom I'm a mere stage hand, will ignite the kingdom life. A fire. Somebody say a fire. Come on, man. Somebody say a fire. And then I put your hand over your head. Somebody say a fire. Say a fire. Come on, I haven't come to do normal services tonight. I've come to touch somebody that's hungry. Where's my sound man, John? Come on, I've come to change somebody upside down, right side up, inside out, by the fire and by the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not going to have another dead religious service. What you need is the power of God. What you need is the fire of God. What you need is the presence of God. Because Jesus said, "I've come to start a fire." Say it tonight, say a fire. Say it tonight, say a fire. Young people, shout, say fire. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. "I've come to start a fire. I've come to start." I've come to start a fire, a Holy Ghost fire that will not leave you the way that it found you. In the name of Jesus, a Holy Ghost fire that's going to revolutionize your life, a Holy Ghost fire that's going to empower you, a Holy Ghost fire that's going to break the power of the devil over your life, a Holy Ghost fire that's going to break the shackles off of your feet, a Holy Ghost fire that's going to break addiction off of your life. Our God is a consuming fire, and when God touches you, you cannot be the same no more. You cannot be a loser. You cannot stay down. You cannot stay bound. You will be free by the fire and the power of God. Shout fire. Better. Come on, give two people a high five and say fire. says, I'm going to ignite the kingdom life of fire, the Holy Spirit within you, and I'm going to change you inside out. Religion tries to modify your behavior. Self-help programs try to modify your thinking. But God says, I'm not just going to modify your behavior. I'm going to revolutionize you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to set you ablaze with a kingdom life. I'm going to take away every trace of weakness. I'm going to burn away every excuse. I'm going to remove every addiction by my fire. What people have tried to do for many years and were not able, I'm going to do in a moment by my fire, because I promised I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Lacking confidence, the fire of God will burn confidence into your life and you will be unstoppable. You are going to run for God like you've never run for God before, in the name of Jesus, because God is into radical change. God is into radical change. God is not into modifying your behavior, and neither is God into toning you down so you can fit into a cookie jar and look like everybody else. Listen. Some of you have been in the same place too long. You've been stuck in the same rut too long. You've had the same hairstyle too long. You've worn the same clothes far too long. God's going to bring change in the name of Jesus. There's going to come a fire. You are going to become like a hot potato. You are going to not know yourself, because he's going to change you into another man. And God's going to take the heart of stone out of you, and he's going to give you a heart of flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. And when people see you, they're going to see a man, a woman marked by God, a man with fire in their eyes, not a fire of judgment, but a fire of God's love. And you are going to change your world. Generation Z, shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Okay. So when God's Spirit comes upon you, Mr. Soundman, it brings divine transformation. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16, the Bible says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The problem is people don't want God and they don't want to turn to God. They want to turn to something else, and they've made religion a self-help program. You don't need another program. You don't need another institution. You don't need more knowledge. What you need is the fire of God in your life. What you need is an encounter with the living God, and you'll never be the same. It says, now the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Somebody say, the glory of the Lord. Oh, come on now. I see some of you are shocked already. I think some people have run out already because they're not used to this. So Christianity is about transformation. Becoming more like Jesus. Not little by little, but by the power of God. So it says we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When God encounters a person, he changes. Heaven never leaves you the way it finds you. Throughout Scripture, we see ordinary people who encounter God, who write history or rewrite history. As a matter of fact, this whole Bible were written by men who encountered God. People who encountered the presence and the power of God. People who were turned from nobodies into somebody. I don't care what people say about you. I don't care how smart you are in the natural. You are smart because you're created by God. I don't care what labels you have, because tonight God's going to take those labels off of you. What I care about is what God already did for you. And what you've got to do is stop looking through the veil at Jesus Christ. You've got to turn to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you encounter God, you will change. Your heart will change. Your desires will change. Your focus will change. Your purpose will change. Your assignment will change. Your walk will change. Your habits will change. Your friends will change. Everything about your life is going to change when you encounter God. He's going to turn you into a completely different woman. You're not going to be that drama queen no more. You're going to be the daughter of God on fire for God and all the girls. I didn't say you are drama queens. I said to a young man this week, I was talking to him about relationship. I said, just don't marry a drama queen. Because if she's a drama queen before you marry her, she's going to be a big drama queen after you marry her. Bump her into the fire. All the beautiful girls, bump them into the fire. All the Versace and Gucci and Armani girls, bump them into the fire. All the high-heeled girls, bump them into the fire. The fire of God's not just for men. The fire of God are for the women. Oh, you can be beautiful on the outside. You can be stylish. You can walk like nobody else. But girl, you need the fire of God burning in your belly. Because one day you're going to have children and you're going to have to pray heaven down and you're going to have to pray for your husband. And you're going to have to bring the fire in your home in the name of Jesus. All the girls shout, amen. I know normally I go for the men, but listen, girls, you hold a key to change our nation. We need you beautiful. We need you lovely. We need you fashionable. But we also need you full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be a 50-kilogram girl, but you can pray heaven down. You may be a little teeny weeny girl, but you can pray heaven down. You can be an Esther, a beautiful woman, and you can pray heaven down. That doesn't mean you lose yourself. You lose yourself in God, but you carry something that the world cannot give you, something that the world is looking for. You carry the presence and the fire of the Holy Ghost in your belly. So girl, you better hunger for the fire of God. Girl, you better hunger for the presence of God, because the presence of God is going to take you where no boyfriend, no man can take you, in Jesus' name. And that fire is going to keep you all the days of my life. Come on, some girl in this place, give the Lord a praise dance. Lose yourself in the presence of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be so dignified that you forget that you are who you are by the grace of God. So we don't just need the brothers full of fire. We need the sisters full of fire. Holy Ghost fire. Come on, girls. Give the Lord one more praise in this place. I feel the presence of God here tonight. So the greatest need is not more information. You got enough on TikTok. That your eyes look like a clock. You need an encounter. I said, girl, you need an encounter. You need an encounter, young lady, with that baby in your belly. That baby is going to leap because that baby will be filled with the Holy Ghost in your belly. And that baby is going to come out filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. My daughter, Angelique, was baptized in the Holy Ghost 2 years old. She could not even talk, but the power of God came upon her. That's why she's so different. She sat in revival meetings 7 months every single night. And one day I prayed for her, and the power of the highest overshadowed her, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she fell on the ground, and she rolled laughing and laughing and laughing, and God changed her. 2 years old, filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, when you are touched by the Holy Ghost, the world cannot get its claws in you, because you've been touched by God, you've been changed by God, you have tasted heaven, and you will never be satisfied by what this world has to offer you. Say amen, someone, in Jesus' name. You need to lay your hands on your belly. You need to lay your hands on your children. Listen to me, young mama. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, young girl. You need to be full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that boy might be burning with a different fire, but when he puts his hands on you, your fire is going to hit him. That's the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that old devil is going to lose him, leave him, and the next minute he's going to start praising God. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get filled with the fire of God. Hunger for God's presence more than anything else. You needed a boyfriend. You need God's presence. And if a strange fire touches you, it'll die. His hand will burn. Amen. So we don't need more information. Although we will always teach the word with information and doctrine, but all that will not change you. The church is designed by God for people to encounter the living God. Every person have an encounter with God. So we need more than church attendance, more than theology, more than religious activity, more than just singing songs. We need to find the God in the song. More than sermons, we need to find the God in the sermon. More than drinking a cappuccino, we need to find God in the cappuccino. Because we pray over those cappuccinos. I say, we're going to pray over those cappuccinos and say, Father, when they drink it, let the fire of God get into them in Jesus' name. Now, I tell girls, don't do this, but you can actually do this. When you make your husband a food and you send him to work, not you send him to work, when he goes to work, you pray over that sandwich and you just say, Father, when he eats this, let the fire of God go down into his belly in the name of Jesus. Amen. But I say, is don't go anoint his pillow with oil so when he sleeps there, he wakes up a grease ball. No. You love him in your bedroom, but you pray for him. You pray for him. You pray the fire of God. You go into your child's bedroom. If your child, okay, I'm talking to young people now. One day, when your child is rebellious, you don't fight with him every day. You go into that bedroom when that boy is not there. You go lie on that bed like Elijah did on that dead boy. And you cry out to God and you say, Father, when Johnny comes home tonight, let a holy dissatisfaction enter him. Let your presence come in to this room, and I'm telling you, Johnny is going to come, and Johnny is going to repent, and Johnny is going to come home in the name of Jesus. A great friend of mine, one of his children, I feel the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I feel the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to have to stay composed here tonight. Listen, so one of my great friends, his son, and he was a pastor. He is a pastor. His son backslid. Not a great thing when our kids backslide, right? And the mother prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and this boy didn't just go to parties. This boy became part of a syndicate, hijacking, stealing cars, robbing people at gunpoint between two cities. I can't say what city because you're going to figure out who it is. And one day, that boy was sitting in a place and he was with other gangsters, and suddenly he realized he was brought there to be killed, to be murdered, because that's what they do. You live by the gun, you die by the gun. Suddenly he was afraid, and they blocked the entrance, and he knew that he was going to die. And all he could think about was his mother. He was thinking about his mother because his mother was praying for him. And somehow he got out of that house and he ran and he ran and he ran and he caught a taxi. This time he didn't hijack the taxi. He climbed on the taxi and he ran to his mother and he fell on his knees. I'm talking about a big man, 30 something years old. He ran to his mother, a young man that didn't want to put his foot in the church, a young man that lived his life through criminal activity, a young man that is like many of the men in this church, rough and tough, that can go clean a bar by themselves. He was one of those, but he was lost. He was about to die, but he had a mother who was full of the Holy Ghost and a mother who knew how to pray heaven down. And he ran to his mother and he fell at her feet and he cried, and his mother prayed for him and he came back to Jesus Christ. And now he's in the ministry. He's gonna preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, all because he had a mother full of the Holy Ghost and full of fire. And she's a dignified woman, she's a fashionable woman, she's a beautiful woman. Oh, but she had more than her beauty and her fashion. She had the fire of God and carries the fire of God in a beautiful vessel. She knew how to bring heaven down, and her prayers stopped hell from taking their child. I'm telling you, hell is heading the way of some of the people in your lives. You need to bring the fire of God, because you will stop the enemy. You will stop the plans of the enemy. The fire of God will defuse every plan of the enemy. You need to know how to walk filled with the Holy Ghost. We cannot do this normal, soft, fitting, gentle, meek, and mild Christianity. We need to become raw in our hunger for God, raw in our prayers before God, raw in our worship before God. We need to be like a David, undignified in the name of Jesus, before the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And we need to love God more than anything else, because when you do that, God's Spirit is going to come upon you. And when the Spirit comes upon you, the Spirit of God's going to come upon your family. The Spirit of God is going to come upon your business. The Spirit of God is going to come upon your mind, your emotions, your situation. And where the Spirit of God comes, things change in Jesus' name. Oh, say amen and give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Give him a praise in this place tonight. Come on, CRC. So we need a move of the Holy Spirit that transforms us. Because it's those encounters that change us. You know, most of you went through school, hopefully. How much do you remember? Can I give you the test that you wrote in standard or grade 7? Yes. Math. Yes. What do you remember? Encounters. That grade 3 teacher, that nursery school teacher, your mother who put you in bed every night and sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah, you remember that. Students that are now backslidden. No, I'm not saying you're backslidden. I'm saying students that come and leave their mama's home and the mothers are still praying for them. That's why churches like this are so important. So the mother's praying in a township somewhere and a member comes, a CRCer comes and says, why don't you come with me to church? And that boy walks in here and he remembers, Jesus loves me. This I know. And suddenly he realizes, what I'm busy with is not what I want. I want what my mother raised me for, a godly mother. Some of you need to come back to Christ. You need to come back to where you were raised. You need to come back to Jesus. Your mother's praying for you. Your father, but men are not good at prayer. Your mother. Okay, I'm not saying all men. I'm not generalizing. Mothers. Girls, young people, you are birthing a next generation. You are the generation, but you're already birthing another generation. You're going to be mothers. You're going to be fathers. That's why you need God for real. You need to know how to bring God into your world, into your home. You need to know how to pray heaven down when you don't have answers. When you come back from the doctor and there's no hope in the natural. You need to know God, not about God. Because when the storms come and your world is shaken, you cannot be shaken yourself. Your faith needs to remain sound because you know Him in whom you trust. So every major revival in Scripture began with someone having a true encounter with God. I always say this, we don't need 1,000 young people at university. We need one young person that's on fire. One young person that has had a true encounter with God, because once God touches you, you will know it and everybody else will see it. You're different. You don't just speak hollow words, you're not a clanging cymbal. When you talk, there's authority, there's change. It takes one match to start a forest fire. One teenager in a school that has had an encounter with God, like a Samuel, like a David, like a Jeremiah, a young person that has had an encounter with God, that has decided, this is what I'm looking for. You don't first have to go through the world to know that sin is going to destroy you. You need to find God. And when you find God, the world has no hold over you. I talk to some people sometimes and they say, well, I never experienced what you experienced. I say, good for you. But it's like some people think they miss out because they were never sinners. Oh, you were sinners. You were born in sin. But they think because I was never a terrible sinner, I missed out on something. Let me tell you, you've missed out on nothing. Because sin equals death. So people give their testimony and you think, I missed out. I never had a boyfriend. Thank God you're not messed up. Because you're not going to marry your husband and think about the 10 boyfriends or the 20 boyfriends or the 30 boyfriends or the 50 boyfriends that you had before. You have one framework of reference. One. Uno. Ian. So people lose themselves because they are looking for the wrong thing. And this world is designed to steal your appetite or to stir your appetite to make you think this is what I want. Because your friends all look happy when they party out there, they look happy. They're not happy. You say, how do you know? Because I was one of those people. One of them. Smile and dance and do everything dead on the inside. Because any sinner will tell you they feel lost. And the more they feel lost, the louder they sin. The more lost you are, the more broken you are, the more you sin. The more you drink, the more you smoke, the more you snort, the more you run around. The further you are from God and the lonelier you are on the inside, the more sin gets a hold of you. That's why God comes to deal with that, and He sends His Son to fill the vacuum, but to change you. Because when you receive Christ, you receive what you're looking for. It's not an emotional experience. It is encountering God, the real God, as Paul did on the road to Damascus. God that changes you inside out. God that fills you. God that burns out the hay, the chaff, and the stubble. That's why the church has to be a place where the fire of God burns. The altar has to burn, or the fire has to burn on the altar. Every time you come into the house of God, every time you pray, you should taste and see that God is good. You should taste the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. This is not information transfer. This is encountering God again and again and again. And the more you encounter God, the more you are transformed. We read that scripture, from glory to glory into the image of Christ. That's why we come to church. That's why we worship. That's why we pray. That's why we go to home cell. We are pursuing God. We are in this world. We are not of this world. We have been changed into another person. We are not those people of the world anymore, right? God brought you out of the world. You are born again. You are saved. You are heaven bound. You are blood washed. You are sanctified. You are forgiven. You are justified. You are declared righteous by God. You now have God before you and the world behind you. So your pursuit is for something much greater than silver and gold. So it's the burning bush that changed Moses. Think about it. Moses was a backslider. He preempted God's will, tried to deliver Israel in his own strength, killed an Egyptian. Next day he tried to help two Hebrew brothers and said, "Oh, you're also going to kill us?" And he ran as a coward. And he hid for 40 years. He gave up on himself, but thank God he never gives up on us. Say amen. Because the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God never gave up on him, so God lit a bush. Like God started a church. God brought the fire of God to Pretoria. So that when you come, you encounter God's fire. And it's at that place, in the presence of God, that you have your conversation with God. And God restores you. And God transforms you into the presence of God, and He restores purpose back to your life. Because a life without purpose is a purposeless life. It's a meaningless life. Just to be like an animal, where you are born and you just celebrate another birthday, then you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, you die. What's the purpose? You're on this earth for a purpose, and you will find that purpose in Christ, as Paul did on the road to Damascus. When he meets Jesus Christ and he falls to the ground, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting." And a very intelligent man asks a very intelligent question that few Christians dare to ask. He says, "What is it that you want me to do? What do you want from me, Jesus?" We get saved and we tell God. Paul gets saved and he says, "What is it that you want from me, God?" Moses at the burning bush, God says, "I've seen the oppression of my people. I've come down to deliver them. Come down, I will send you." And what does Moses say? He says, "But who am I?" He says, "I'm not able." He says, if people say, "God send you, what is His name?" God says, "I am that great I am." He says, "Suppose they will not believe me." He says, "I'm with you." He says, "God sends somebody else." Abnegation, right? God calls you to be the home cell leader because you feel weak in the natural. And you say, "God, use somebody else." God says, "No, I'm going to use you." And then the anger of the Lord is kindled against him. And Moses says, "Okay, God, I've heard you. I'm going to go." and he becomes the greater deliverer. The man that says, who am I? The man who says, I'm not able, becomes what? The greatest deliverer of Israel. He challenges and defies Pharaoh, the government of the day. And he says to them, let my people go that they may worship the living God. Think about it for a moment. A man that was timid, a man that lost his confidence after one encounter with God. He's the man that goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. I want to tell you on television, God is not done with you. God's got great plans for your life. Get yourself into the fire in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, give them a big hand clap in Jesus' name. So Jacob is changed. We spoke about it this morning. If you were not yet, get the message. It's profound. It will change your life. Saul of Tarsus is changed on the road to Damascus. The early church is changed from hiding in an upper room by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are known as those who turn the world upside down. Men and women, persecuted, scattered, but they are fueled by the fire of God and they are driven with God's purpose. And I want to say it again, you know, Christianity without purpose is a swamp. What's the point? I'm saved for what? I'm a Christian too. I'm redeemed and freely you receive, freely give. When God touches you, your eyes shift from yourself to the people in your world. Everything about this Bible is not just to us, it's to us through us. So when God touches us, Moses hiding, he's still a deliverer. He's a mighty man, but he's lost his confidence. And God says, I'm not done with you because I don't see you the way people see you. Gideon, people say you're the least, you're the weakest, but God greets him as a mighty man. And then Gideon says, but God, where are you? Where are your miracles? And he challenges God. God doesn't even entertain the conversation. God says, go in this might of yours. Have I not sent you? Because obviously God had that conversation previously with Gideon. He knew that he was called by God to do something great, as all of you are. There's not one of you that are not called by God to do something great, whether it's ministry, whether it's business, whether it's politics, whether it's sport, whether it's medicine, whether it's education, whatever it is. God doesn't give little dreams. When God enters you, he gives you a big dream. He doesn't ask if you are qualified, because he will qualify you. What he asks you, are you available? Will he allow God to remake you? Will he allow God to turn you from a timid man hiding in a wine press because you're afraid, to becoming that fierce deliverer? With 300 men, you defeat thousands of the enemy. One encounter with God, and everything about Gideon changes. Jacob wrestling with God, and God changes him from Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, liar, cheat, heel grabber, and he leaves as a prince, as will you. When you truly encounter God, we're not talking about superficial things. And I'm going to say it again. We're not talking about coming to church so we can put plasters on you. We're talking coming to church so you can encounter Christ, who will change you inside out. He will change you. And he will put his fire in your heart. And once that fire is there, you cannot be the same. Every time you pray, that fire burns. It purifies you. It sets you ablaze. That's why Jesus promises fire on the day of Pentecost. That's why again and again in the Bible, you will see the encounters that people have is with God's power and God's fire. Because God's not going to leave you where God finds you. And somehow we fear change. Somehow we think the way of comfort is the right way. No. When you encounter God, he is going to challenge you and he's going to change you. And he's going to make you the vessel of honor that he needs. He's going to rearrange things in your life. I pray to God you are ready for that. I pray that when you come before God in your prayers, it's not always, gimme, 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 Lord, my name is Jimmy, bless me, 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 me. That your prayers will change. Here I am. What is it that you want from me? Revival is sacred. Revival is holy. Oh, we may see people laugh and we may see people shake and things happen, but it's holy. It's God touching people. We see an external manifestation, but it's not about the manifestation on the outside. It's about what's happening in the heart. And that's why we come again and again to be touched like Moses until God burns out every excuse. We stay in the press long enough for God to fill us with His power and His glory, so we become those vessels that are untainted and cannot be shaped by culture, by the world, by TikTok, by Instagram, by the influencers out there. Please, people, some of you are following influencers out there that do not know how to spell the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you are watching reels that do not bring any glory to God. Don't you understand that you are being fashioned according to the pattern of this world? You need to be fashioned according to the pattern of God's word. You need to get your nose into the Bible. You need to download scripture on your iPhone so you can listen to scripture. You need to get videos of people that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, so when you TikTok, you get the word of God in your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to feed your heart. You need to feed your mind. You need to put the fire of God's word in your mouth so you can order your conversation and direct your course. You need to say what God says about you. You are not a weak person. You are not the least. You are a mighty man, a mighty woman of valor. You are chosen by God. You are appointed by God. You are accepted by God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are washed. You are sanctified. You have to say what God says about you and get rid of the inferiority. Get rid of the low self-esteem. Get rid of the small-mindedness. Get rid of the down talk that is coming out of your mouth. Get rid of the apology and the excuses and begin to say what God says about you. The greater one lives on the inside of you. If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. You need to get your feet on the rock, on solid ground, and get the fire of God burning in your heart, speaking the word of God over your future. This is who I am. I am a man anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. I am a woman with the fire of God in my belly. I am destined by God for great things. I don't care who's against me, because if God is for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter. They will come against me one way. God will drive them before me seven ways in the name of Jesus. He's going to change you. He's going to change you inside down, inside out. He's going to change you upside down. And you are going to turn your world upside down, right side up. If you believe it, say amen. And give the Lord a praise tonight. Come on, Engine. Give Him a praise. Come on, every young person. Give Him a praise. No, you've got to praise Him better than that. I'm done. You've got to praise Him. You've got to praise Him because you want God to touch you tonight. This is not emotion. You've got to praise Him because you are hungry for God. You've got to praise Him because you need God to touch you. You've got to praise Him because you are tired of that addiction, tired of those shackles, tired of that depression, tired of living the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. You read your Bible and nothing is changing. You pray a prayer and nothing is changing. You need to get hungry and desperate like Jacob, and you need to get yourself in the presence of God and wrestle, 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 till that old deceiver dies, until Israel comes alive in you in the name of Jesus, until sin loses its attraction and all you want is more of God and more of God's glory. You need to press Him until you are touched by God. You need to press Him until you touch the hem of His garment. And once you touch Him, or once God touches you, you can never be the same again in Jesus' name. Never. 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 Lift your hands. If you don't want to lift your hands, that's fine. Let your presence come, Father. Let your glory fall upon our church as I pray. You can do what all the knowledge in the world cannot do in a moment. Jacob was desperate. And until we don't become desperate, we don't become honest. And he cried out to God for change. And by the way, Jacob wasn't a teenager. I didn't say it this morning. If you have 11 children, you can't be 12 years old. Jacob must have been 50, 60 years old. He had a measure of success. He was a leader, but he lacked something. And when God touched him, he had a limp. A limp. Not a lisp. A limp. A limp. When God finds Moses, and he wasn't a stutterer, by the way. He lost his confidence to speak. He was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. He was very well educated. His name was inscribed on all the statutes which they removed. But he was trained and raised in Pharaoh's court. But he'd come to the place, like Jacob, just took him much longer, where he lost confidence in himself. Because I don't care how great you are, how talented you are, how smart you are, how sharp you are. Somewhere you're going to run out of answers. You can only take yourself that far. And if you don't find God in that journey, when you get to that place, that's when people implode and lose themselves. Because everything is easy until it no longer is. Did you hear what I said? Everything is easy until it no longer is. And when it's not easy, we want to point fingers at somebody else. And God says, no, girl, no. I know you have daddy issues, but I'm your father. I know you never had a father. I'm your father. I know you were abandoned, but I will never forsake you. I'm your God. Wholeness. I talk to so many people, and when they go through a crisis, they talk about their childhood. And I understand. We all have a childhood, right? But we're not going to get our healing reflecting on our childhood and all the trauma and all the drama we experienced as children. Because most of us have. We didn't all grow up in perfect homes. But I cannot, because of what I went through, when I go through something now, go back there and say, my mama, my papa, if you were not saved, yes. And I feel for you. I also come from certain things in my background, which I won't say. I also went through trauma and things as a young person, which caused me to go to sin and turn to the world, etc. But then I met the Christ. And when I met the Christ, I could look at people differently and forgive people and love them, even though they never loved me. I could, because the love of God filled me and the love of God healed me. God's love heals you. Even if your father wrote you out of his will, you can still love your father. No matter how harsh you, maybe you were not the favorite child. Think about David. He was not even recognized as one of the possible chosen ones. And the prophet has to say to Jesse, don't you have another son? He says, oh, there's the youngest one. The one God will not choose, the one that's overlooked. But it's exactly the one God chose. So if anybody could have daddy issues and family issues, it was David. But he didn't. I know many of you come from broken homes and you don't come from a perfect background. But you're going to have to let that go now. That was their story. God's writing your story. And that story is your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a new chapter being written right now. If you will allow God to write that chapter. And where does he write that? In your heart. God gave him another heart. God gave him another heart. God took out the heart of stone. It's not just a heart of sin, but people become hardened through hurt, offense, bitterness, unforgiveness, hardens the heart. Don't allow that. You see this when people fight. One person can never let the past go. That person will always. I don't want to say woman. I'll just say one of the two people. The one with the elephant memory. Let me say it like that. We'll say, but 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 18 years ago. Do you mean you've lived with that? Do you mean you live with that every day? Do you mean you refuse to let that go? Because if you forgive that, you let it go? You don't bring it up in the next argument. And 3 years later, you bring it up again. And then you bring it up again. You can't do that. I was in the band Praise and Worship. And I can't sing. I'm talking about when I just got saved. And the worship leader one day called me in front of the pastor. And she took out literally a black book. And I was in the band like for 7 years. Because my pastor said, sing, a little church. And I played the tambourine as well. Oh, Jesus, help us. Amen. Tambourine, like you know, like Miriam. I was the tambourine, Mexico. Here I go, tambourine. Me, man, tambourine, chicka 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 chicka, singing. And then she wrote a list, and she led the worship. And she called me to a meeting with the pastor, and she went through 7 years of things I did that I didn't even know I did. I was never rude. I did sometimes because I don't like people wasting time. And we practiced on Saturdays when the Springboks played. That was a massive sacrifice for me. And then she would always be late and clumsy and never organized. And I would always say to her, just get yourself in order. We don't want to waste time. That was an issue. 7 years. Page after page after page after page after page. I thought, Jesus, help us. Help us. How do you keep the Bible says love does not keep a record of other people's sins. I said love does not keep a record of other people's sins. You cannot keep a record of your mother's sins, of your father's sins, of your brother's sins, of your uncle's sins, of your cousin's sins, of your dog's sins, of your cat's sins. You cannot keep a record of sin. That hardens your heart more than anything else. Because you're hurt, you're betrayed, something happens to you, you never deserved it. And still it happened. And you're hurt. But Jesus came to heal your broken heart. So you girl, you guy, let me say guys. No, girls. You need an encounter. Change that song to encounter. We need an encounter. You need an encounter. I'm being very gentle and kind with you now. I don't try to be mean at all. And I understand people hurt. We've all been hurt, right? But we have to get our healing in His presence. Otherwise you become reactive and you project. You need to be free. Free? You need to be free. So that every day, as God's mercy is on you every morning, so your walk is new every day with other people. 70 times 7. 70 times 7. In Jesus' name. Father, let your glory come. We stand before you naked, unashamed. We lay our hearts bare before you. Speak to us. Breathe upon us. See yourself standing as a little girl before your Father tonight. I know life hurts people, damages people, but tonight I want to take you back to seeing yourself as a little girl because you're His daughter. And all the hurt and all the abuse and everything you've gone through, give it to your Father. Give it to your Father. There are women I'm talking to now. You need to get out of your seats and come down to the altar quickly. You feel the presence of God like a fire burning in your heart. Some of you are shaking where you're standing. I can just only those women, not anybody else. Only those women. You come. Women, not men. Women. Come to the altar quickly. Quick. 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 Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Come. 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 God's going to heal you. There's more of you. You need to come. 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 Walk down there in Bloemfontein. You need to come. Quick. 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 Come. Come. You don't have to fear God. God's not going to do anything weird. Come on, lead the people, please, at the ushers. It's women. I can't be rough with women. Men is a different story. God knows every hurt. Tonight you're laying it down. God's going to take it away from you. God's going to take it out of you and you'll never be the same again. You're not going to carry that no more. People, you need to make spaces. We can't have women falling on one another. Please, we're talking with ladies. Do your job, please. Please. We don't want people falling on one another and hurting one another. If people fall. These people are standing too close to one another. Totally. Come, pastors, get involved, yeah. Do your jobs. If I was you over there, I would be praying for these people right now, because one day you'll be standing down here. This is not the time to switch off and spectate. People are hurting. People are broken. They need to be touched by the power and the presence of Jesus. God's going to deliver many of them, because the place of hurt is the place where Satan tries to bring demonic activity. That's where the devil binds people. We want freedom tonight. Freedom. Let your presence come now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Let your presence come. Let your anointing come now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ushers, quick. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of... reach your hands out and pray for them. Healed. Healed. Healed, 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 in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I take that hurt out now, in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on, wake up, wake up, wake up. In the name of Jesus, 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 healed, healed, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lift your hands now. Fire in the name of Jesus. 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 In the name. In the name of Jesus. I break that off of you now.
Here at your feet, this is holy ground.
Out.
Join in the song as we lift this sound. Here is our worship. Here and now. With humble hearts, Lord, we lay it down. Here at your feet, this is holy ground. Join in the song as we lift this sound. Here is our worship, here and now.
Come on, sing with us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus.
This is holy
ground. In the name of Jesus now.
Join in the song as we lift this sound.
Here is our worship.
Here and now. With humble hearts, Lord, we lay it down. Here at your feet, this is holy ground. Join in the song as we lift up the sound. Here is our worship, here and now. With humble hearts, Lord, we lay it down. Here at your feet, this is holy ground. Join in the song as we lift this sound.
Fire. come to receive your grace.
We come to bless your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
We come to see
whole.
Your
heart. Whole, 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 free, whole, free, free, whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, sing people, sing people, sing people, sing, sing, sing. Your face. Come on, hold. It's a new day. New day, new day. Free. Chita papa pore baba barebe se. Re toko topora baba sete. Ledre babora baba baba pore se terebe. Tita rababa raba sa taraba. Come on, we have come to encounter. Come on, worship Him. God will touch you right where you are. Come on tonight. Come on, there are more of you girls. You should be down here. You should press into God's presence tonight. I'm telling you, you're not going to change yourself. God's anointing is going to change you, nothing else. You need to get yourself into the presence of God tonight. You are still standing there. Your belly is in a knot. God is talking to you tonight. Only God can change you tonight. I'm going to invite you one more time. You want to get down here? Get down here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We set every person free tonight, Father. We loose every person tonight. We bring healing to every heart tonight. We speak forgiveness to every mind in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, sing it. Come on, let's worship Him. Come on, let's worship Him. Worship goes up. The presence of God stays strong in the church. God is not into spectatorship.
Here and now, with humble hearts, only lay it down. Here at your feet, this is.
lift your hands. Even if God's touching woman tonight, God can touch you. Your need matters.
We've come to bless your name. We've come to seek your face. We've come to encounter. We've come to receive your grace. We've come to bless your holy name. We've come to seek your face.
To stand in His presence. Father, we seal your work in every heart, right here in Pretoria, Johannesburg, Bloemfontein, Kimberley. Even people touched in their lounges. Thank you. We release every person who speak forgiveness and freedom. Jesus' name. One of the most difficult things for people to do is to forgive themselves. Sometimes people do the right thing and they still don't forgive. And then the heart becomes hardened. You can do all the right things and your heart becomes angry. You can't allow that. That's why the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry with anybody. Every night as the sun goes down, you bury your issues. In Jesus' name. Some of you really have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. It's the worst kind of unforgiveness is self-unforgiveness, if there's a terminology like that. You don't forgive yourself, Satan will keep you a prisoner, he'll keep you bound. You will not be able to go on with your life if you always revisit certain places tonight. You need to receive God's forgiveness and you need to forgive yourself and move on from here. We can't live in places of could have, should have, would have. You receive the Spirit of God tonight that says, I'll give you another heart, a heart of flesh. In Jesus. Don't be in a hurry to get up. Just relax. Chill. Chill. You're now in God's presence. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, please. No one moving now. Don't move now. Just show respect. I know you are for what God's doing. You're standing in this place tonight, you've never given your life to Jesus. There in Johannesburg, in Kimberley, in Bloemfontein, the many thousands all over this country. If you were to die tonight, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Maybe at some time you did serve God, but you've drifted away from Him. And your heart has become distant. You know, we can't save ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We need Jesus. And tonight you're standing in this place, you say, Pastor, I need a fresh start with God. To many beautiful students there in Johannesburg, all the beautiful people in Bloemfontein and Kimberley, you're not here by accident. God orchestrated this meeting just for you. And He's working in you. Your life's not right. You want to get your life right. But you know you can't do it by yourself. Tonight you have to accept God's forgiveness and God's love. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. Whether you're standing in the front, at the back, tonight you say, I want to get right with God. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you tonight, man or woman, God's talking to you tonight. Tonight you need to surrender all to Jesus. I want to pray for you. If that's your desire, quietly wherever you are, just raise your hand. I want to say a prayer for you quickly. Lift it up all over this place. Raise it up high. Slip it up. God bless you, bless you, bless you. Raise it up. God bless you, bless you. Slip it up. God bless you, bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Raise it up. Your hand, okay? Your arm. Your hand is at the end of your arm, the thing that hangs loose over here. God's talking to you, reaching out to you. Reach back to God tonight. This will change you. This will change you. Responding to God's touch is what will change you. And you'll never be the same again. One more time before I pray. Vanaand staan jy in hierdie plek, jy lewe sê reg maar die Here nie. Jy sukkel sat om sukkel sat te wees, jy is moeg om in daai plek te lewe. Jy sukkel. Jy is op 'n treadmill. Jy probeer jou lewe verander, dit werk nie. Want jy kan nie. Jy moet jou lewe oorgee aan Christus. Dis nie 'n godsdienst nie, dis 'n realiteit. Want sonder Jesus het jy geen lewe nie. Hierdie is lewe. Hy is lewe. En sonder hom het jy niks. So before I pray, you've not raised your hand tonight. God's talking to you. You know, it's one thing when God touches you. It means God is calling you. And you don't want to shut God out. You want to respond when He touches you. I'm going to ask one more time before I pray tonight. You say, that's me. Include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. Slip your hand up now. Raise it up now. In Jesus' name. Slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. At the back, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless many of you. Okay, ushers, now we're going to usher the people not out of the anointing. All right. Those of you that can go to your seats, you can go to your seats. If you feel, and I know you can hear me, even under the anointing, people think people go in a coma. They're not in a coma. They're just aware of God's presence. If you want to stay, we'll pray for you afterwards again. If you want us to pray for you. You know, God loves people very much. Do you understand that this whole Christian thing is about God's love for people? It's not a religion. It's not a formula. And Jesus makes it very clear. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. He sent me to heal, 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 heal broken hearts. People that are broken, that's why Jesus came. The world is a way to break people. People have a way to break people. The devil has a way to break people. Sin is a way to break people. Church is about fixing people God's way, not the religious way. Allowing Jesus to come and heal you and save you. You know, sometimes people bury things so deep. Please listen to me. I know when I speak by the Spirit of God, sometimes people bury things so deep, they go through all the motions, but they become numb. If you've become numb in your emotions, it's because you've buried something that relates to forgiveness, true forgiveness. You've covered it, but you haven't forgiven it. You need to forgive. Please listen. It's one thing God talks about again and again in the New Testament is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Any area of unforgiveness is a target for Satan. It's a target for a life of torment. Any unforgiveness. Any. Even if that person doesn't deserve your forgiveness, you don't deserve God's forgiveness. Yet He forgives you. We forgive because we receive forgiveness. We don't hold people prisoners. We forgive. Amen. We forgive. And it's not an easy thing. That's why you need to forgive in God's presence. Otherwise, next time, that same thing is going to come out of you when you have a conversation. That means you've not forgiven. You have to be free in Jesus' name. Many of you raised your hands. Many of you brought friends. That Jesus who lives in you is reaching out to your friend. And you're going to bring your friend to Christ tonight. So all over this place, in Johannesburg, in Bloemfontein, in Kimberley, you want to give your life back to Jesus. You want to come and get saved. You want a fresh start with God. Don't think about it. Just leave your seat. You've raised your hand or you have not. Leave your seat and walk down the aisle closest to you. We're going to say a prayer together at every altar. Come on there in Johannesburg, leave your seat and walk to the front. Bloemfontein, leave your seat and walk to the front. You raised your hand, something is happening in you. God's talking to you. Come on. Let God change you tonight. Let God shape you tonight. Let God wash you and cleanse you tonight. You come. Come on. Come on tonight, Jesus. Listen, man, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Just come receive the love that Jesus has for you. It's going to change you forever. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been, how low you have sunk. You just come as you are. Come and receive the love of Jesus. Receive God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's healing power tonight. It is free. Come, young person. I was 17 years old. I was messed up already by this world. You don't have to be 80 years old to get messed up. You just have to live a little bit. You just have to live a little bit. Come on, some of those young people, you've had a lot of pain in your life and a lot of disappointment. You need to come to Jesus tonight. Leave your seat and come. Come on tonight in Jesus' name. People are hungry for God. People are hungry for God. CRC, all our CRC churches, people are hungry for God. People are hungry for God. Not hungry for religion, hungry for God. We want more of God, and we're going to see more of God, and we're going to see a huge revival among young people. Mark my words. That's why we are going to other places in this country as well. We are going to see our country touched by 2029. Amen? Yes, we are. Whether you believe it or not, I have God's agreement. That's enough. Thank you. And what God's doing there in Johannesburg with those students is incredible. I mean, a lot of, Wits and UJ, those are the places where the revolutions start and the activism starts, etc. That means, now I'm looking there because they're all there on a screen. I've got a lot of 100 screens up here. I can see what's going on everywhere. that means God has got a very special plan with you. You are going to listen. You're going to shape the future of South Africa by the presence of God. I said you are going to shape the future of South Africa by the presence and the fire and the power of God. Your life has a purpose. Wherever you are studying, it's because God has a greater purpose for you. So you better qualify. I say better, I mean better. Qualify yourself. Get the top grades, be the best student, get the top jobs, get the influential positions so you can change the world. Because God establishes His kingdom on top, not at the bottom, on top. God raises people to the top. God wants to listen, God wants to take you to the top. So you have to be hungry to go to the top. People want to talk to Christians and say, just accept anything in life. This is how God created you. God created you in His image. This world has taken your potential away from you, and religion has lied to you that don't expect too much from life. Well, don't expect much from life, but expect a lot from God, who created you in His likeness and His image. He created you to have dominion. There's not one of you destined for failure in this place. God has got great plans for each and every one of you. You have to hunger for it, but first you have to hunger for God. God doesn't give small dreams, small plans. You may not have a great education, but God Himself will remake you, give you a break. I mean, we have people in the church, I don't want to say who, that now at 30-something, or first time they can afford, because people are sponsoring them in this great church, to go study law. Good people, life has just dealt them unkindly, but they've never given up on their dreams. Now they go sit at university with the 18-year-olds, and they are 30-something-year-olds, and I'll tell you what, they are going to be amazing doctors and amazing attorneys, because they're going to use the opportunity they receive now. They are not victims. They chose, I'm not a victim. Never got a matric, so at 30, got a matric. It's never too late. Can I tell you why? Because God's going to add years to you. God, you're going to live a long life. When you are 80, you are still going to look young, and you're still going to be smart, and you're still going to do great things for God. So it's never too late. Moses was 85, and then God used him. Sua, come on, people. Moenie klein dink nie. Moenie yourself afskryf nie. Ek gee nie om waar jy is nie. God tell you up. Daai liedjie wat ons gesing het en baie diep al hy my uit. En baie diep al hy my uit. Onthou julle daai liedjie? So as jy nooit diep was nie, dan weet jy nie wat God vir jou kan doen nie. Baie diep. Baie diep. Amen. Kom ons bid saam vanaand. Let's pray together. Put your hand on your heart tonight. All you wonderful people that came to the altar tonight, pray this tonight. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I'm giving myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. You created me. You made me to serve you. Tonight I turn back to you and I open my heart and I invite you to take your place as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you that you went to the cross and you died for all my sin. But you rose from the grave and you are alive. Tonight, I publicly give my life back to you. And I acknowledge you are my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Thank you for washing me and cleansing me and forgiving me, and forgiving me a new heart that will follow you all the days of my life. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.